is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Wheel has rolled around, and we say good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. It's a sunny Radio Ranch. You can tell the days are getting a little longer. Sunshine's already bright and shining out here on this February 24th, and we'll bring the men on. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Tim from Nebraska.
Good morning.
And I'm not going to call him a beach bum, but good morning, Josh, out there watching the Gulf this morning. He's already told us he's out there where it's warm and beautiful watching over the Gulf waters. But good morning, Josh. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us. And, of course, we say good morning to the Holy Spirit. And we ask the Holy Spirit to join us as well. We'll have the phone lines open in a few minutes, but we're going to open up with prayer. And, Tim, I think we're going to ask you to do that this morning.
All righty, I sure will. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. And, Lord, we ask you that you'd bless this day, Lord, that you'd bless this year, and that you'd bless your people, Lord, and that you would extend your kindness, mercy, and grace to us. Lord, we pray for our enemies that they would see the light of your way. Lord, whether you have to use the carrot or the stick on them to bring them to the throne of Almighty God, we pray that they'd come running and that they would fall on their knees and beg forgiveness for their foolishness, oh Lord. We know that everything that our God does is not only divine but right, and it has a purpose because we've been told that it's so. Lord, I pray that you'd extend your protection to your people in these times of trial and tribulation. Lord, we know that Malachi promised us that the Son of Righteousness would rise with healing in its wings. Lord, we claim that promise. We know that the timetable is set, and things are proceeding exactly as they're supposed to in your divine plan. Lord, we don't always understand, but we know that faith requires us to accept and do our part. Lord, we just pray that you'd strengthen and quicken us in our minds as we speak this morning, that you'd grant us every strength and every bit of your wisdom, that we, as we speak, the words that come from our mouth might be exactly what you want us to say. I pray now for those of your people that are in, have special needs and have requirements, that Lord, they would be held before thy throne, and that you would rapidly respond to those needs. I just ask that you would continue to work in a way that we could see, Lord, that you'd make it apparent to us, that you'd lift us up emotionally and spiritually and physically and grant us those things. I just thank you for, I just thank you, Lord, for your plan, for everything that goes on. It becomes apparent to me so often. We look at things and we say, Lord, we don't understand, but you do. Lord, I just thank you that you do. We just ask that you bless this ministry, that you bless the broadcast this morning. We thank you for it. Christ's holy and precious name, and by his blood, amen.
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 Amen. Tim, in your prayer, reminded me of here in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul's letter, when he finishes up chapter 4, it's actually 1 Corinthians 4, I guess, talking about servants of Christ, but he says at the end, what do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? And God presents that, you know, the Holy Spirit presents that choice to us really daily. And when you prayed for even our enemies to have their eyes opened and to return, because Jesus Christ will rule. When we yield to him and let, you know, his laws, statutes, judgments, ways, thoughts, the person that he is, when we try to emulate his characteristics, when we overcome self, put self down and do the things that this word tells us to do, then we are ruled by him. And when that happens, you know, it comes true. His yoke is light. It is not heavy. And it is with love and a spirit of gentleness. And he gives us that option. Many people out there just don't realize that, but he gives us that option. But he will rule. And if you don't take that spirit of love, that spirit of gentleness, now I understand not in all things, but in many things we are to have that, then he doesn't have to bring, as Paul writes here, he doesn't have to come with a rod. Because when he comes, when we read in Revelation, when he returns to rule with a rod of iron. And I think that's going to be those of his enemies and those that think they know him, but practice lawlessness, and he's going to say, depart from me. Those will be ruled with that rod of iron. But it can be a rod of love and a spirit of gentleness now. Just a choice.
Amen.
Just a choice. Anyway, that thought occurred to me during your prayer when you mentioned that. But there's a way. It's not that you get this love and spirit of gentleness no matter what you're doing. That's not the way it works. We certainly have to believe, but we have to be obedient. And when we are obedient, I think we're a lot closer to having that spirit of gentleness and love than we are being, you know, beat down and corrected with his rod. Sometimes when you get those, when you feel maybe that rod is being used on you, well, when you do a little Bible study, that rod represents authority and discipline. And so if it's being used on you, you might need to look at your life and see what is it that, where is it you're out of authority, where is it that you're out of discipline, because God uses that to bring us back into his authority, to bring us back into line with his plan, his plan for us. And his plan, of course, is always better than ours.
That's right. Well, when you're dealing with a brother, I mean, the way that we or present ourselves in the way that God presents himself to us or to the world depends largely on who he's dealing with.
Yes.
You know, if he's dealing with it, if he's dealing with the Son, I mean, Mark 3:27 says that, you know, no one can enter into a strong man's house and plunder him unless he, you know, binds him. So obviously, if you're dealing with someone who wants to come in and plunder your house, you're using the rod, not, you know, begging and pleading isn't going to stop them. They've already crossed that line.
Absolutely.
So, there's a difference in who we're dealing with, and we have to identify those things, and that's discernment. That's the fruit test. That's all those things that, you know, when you're dealing with a good Christian brother and a friend, you don't deal with them the same way as you deal with somebody who's trying to take advantage of you or steal from you or those sort of things. And we don't have the kind of foresight God does. He knows the hearts of men, so he has that perfect divine foresight that lets him know what those men intend. So and how many times are we told to guard ourselves? So I see that as it's just a case of discernment and understanding, and I think we see some of that in this school issue that went on down there in Parkland. You know, I mean, they have all these ways of handling things, and people just, I'm astounded at the way people just want to treat the whole world, and then they want to complain about it when they're mistreated or when they're not handled right. And you know, treating each other with love and kindness and all that, that the world likes to say that that's what Jesus is all about. He's just love. And that's, you know, that goes back to that be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Because if you don't use that discernment, you're opening yourself up to a lot of damage and a lot of abuse and to being plundered. I mean,
amen. You can. Amen. It is. It's we need to pray for that discernment. And it's by their fruits. By their fruits you shall know them. I think that's one of the foundational principles.
So and there's,
you know,
go ahead, Josh.
No, go ahead, Jason.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, you see that this, you know, everything that's being said, it's like they're turning this this whole shooting deal into a major gun control issue, and that's happened this week. And it's gun control. You know, and I mean, if you look at even some of these people that, you know, went to that White House this week and are just begging, because, you know, this, they want these firearms taken away from people. They want people disarmed. You know, and it's just complete foolishness, and that just shows you, you know, what, how many people that are out there are in this messed up state of mind, and they really believe this, and they've, you know, accepted that deluding influence. They're, you know, it's either they're evil or they're definitely on the wrong side. You know, some of them you can look at it and you can just tell that they are, you know, part of the agenda. Get the people disarmed. You know, get the people disarmed, and they can do whatever they want to us. You know, and they do really want. They have a war against our people, and that, you know, that war is, you know, part of that tactics of war is to get people unarmed and to take away their guns. I mean, that's what, you know, the communists have done in just every country that they've taken over. And you know, it's people got to think of this as warfare. I mean, I've even had people say, well, you know, does anybody really need an AR-15? And then I've heard people that I couldn't believe that they would even, that they would even entertain the thought this week has said, well, I would, you know, I'd be in favor of a mental evaluation before somebody could buy a firearm. And I said, well, I said, then you wouldn't be having one.
No.
And they said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well,
right.
I said, because once you agree to that, you know, they've already considered it. There is a term, and I can't remember what the term is called. Flips my mind right now, but if you believe in Jesus Christ and that Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave, then they have a psychologist term, and they have already declared that as a mental disease. So if you claim to be a Christian and you're a true follower of Jesus Christ and you believe the Bible, they have a term, and you have a disease that it makes you different.
Right.
And if they go ahead and they allow you and make a rule that says that you have to have a mental evaluation and be mentally stable, you are not mentally stable according to them and the way that they work.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's just, you know, it's just a bunch of garbage.
Yeah.
You are right. When you're giving the fox the keys to the hen house, you know, because they are the ones that are going to be making the determination of whether or not you're suitable to be able to own a firearm. The ones that don't want anyone to have firearms. So what do you think they're going to do with that authority? I mean, it's pretty common sense.
Yes. You know, our pastor, we've mentioned it before.
Talking about the,
well, go ahead. Sorry.
You're talking about, Jason, you know, the most of them that you see on TV are on the other side, but there's a lot of our people that have clearly got to be under some kind of spell or something.
Yes, yes.
To hear the things that come out of people's mouths that make zero sense whatsoever. And I'm talking about these are intelligent people that, you know, they're not dummies, but they just, they say these things that they've been programmed with. You know, they spout these catch lines and what have you that make absolutely no sense whatever. And there's no way that you can reason with them, not with just words. I mean, definitely you can pray about it and you can win them, and there's nothing impossible for God. But as far as if you think you're going to sit down and have a discussion with them and take facts and figures and numbers and change their mind, it's not going to happen.
Amen to that.
Yeah. That and like you said, Josh, that's what happens when they make an issue an emotionally charged issue, and you know, there's no thought, no common sense, no biblical basis for the knee jerk reaction that's involved in that. And I think that's what we see. The fact of the matter is that we always say, well, when you need help in seconds, you know, the police can be minutes or hours away, and that's just a simple case. I mean, basically, if you look at Parkland in a coldly clinical sort of way, they had people on the grounds who didn't even respond, according to them. I mean, I wasn't there. I don't really. But the fact of the matter was they didn't do anything. They hid in They did this and that. Supposedly, there was a 20-minute delay on the video link, so that they were watching and different things. So they failed in everything that they did, but you should give them all of the you should give them all your protection and everything else as far as all of your armament. I liked what Pastor said years ago. It rings in my mind every time I hear gun control come up. And you know, Christ knew when he told them, when he asked them if they had a sword, and they said, well, Lord, we have these, and he said, it's enough. And he told them to sell their garment and buy one. The sword at that time was the same weapon that the Roman legions carried. You know, Christ yes. wanted his people to be armed as well as they were. And I that just rang so true back in the day, and it still does today.
Absolutely.
Well, because at that point in time, a stick was still a weapon, and you could maybe use an axe or whatever, but he didn't say
yes.
that. So
I understand
what you're saying. You know, and nowadays, I don't know how
I hadn't paid that attention that much up there how it is, but here back home, the schools are already wrapped in a 6-foot chain link fence with barbed wire across around the top of it, you know, and for the children's safety and what have you. And I can definitely see it going to a place where, you know, you got armed guards standing at the gates, and you couldn't really tell the difference if you were looking at a prison or a school, you know. And think about mentally the impact that that'll have on our children, for them to think that that's normal as they're growing up, you know, to be surrounded in that setting.
Yep. You know, when I went to high school, we had guns, at least in the pickup trucks in the parking lot in the schools.
Yep.
You know, all the time. And never had a problem. We didn't. It's not the guns. It's the moral decay that's happened as we have just tried to educate and tried to do these things with the public children apart from God. And, you know, Josh, when you mentioned that they're making the schools look like prisons where you can't tell them apart, I wanted to let you know how you can tell a public school from a prison. And see, in prisons, they allow Bibles.
Yeah.
But in public schools, they don't. You know, our pastor put out a message years ago called Thought Crime. And when we were talking about the mental evaluation that you were mentioning, Jason, you were spot on. Absolutely. And our enemies, they don't even play by their own rules. You know, this transgenderism that's rolling through, they do have that. That is considered a mental illness. But they'll still let those kind of things buy guns. And they tell you that, oh, well, if they have mental illnesses and stuff, then we don't want them to be able to buy guns. Well, they let them. And so, no, there should be no test along those lines. But it is. It's the moral decay that's occurred in the schools. There's no respect for each other. There's no respect for the teachers. There was a news article a couple weeks ago. A teacher down in Colorado got a little fed up with it. And I just mentioned the article. I ain't saying it's right or wrong, but I'll give you the details. And she's a 20-year teacher. She was looked to be in her late 40s, maybe 50s, older woman, you know. And I guess they were saying the Pledge of Allegiance, and this one person would not stand up, so she assisted him in standing up. She grabbed his jacket and stood him up in her classroom. And then afterwards, she walked him out in the hallway with her hand on his jacket and him, and escorted him out of the classroom. And that was it, until they charged her with child abuse and third-degree felony. And she turned herself in down to the police department. I want to say that was Boulder. But it just, when you have removed God for over 50 years from an institution, what do you expect, people? What do you expect? We are sowing. We have sown. Let me get that right. We are reaping what we have sown when it comes to the public education system. And, you know, Jason, a thought occurred to me, too. You mentioned the setting it up with these new gun controls to where, well, if you're deemed mentally unfit, you're not permitted to purchase a firearm. You know, the yellow form comes back and it says no. Well, you know, how many? I got a report: a million kids right now under six are on psychiatric drugs, and that. That what I think one in three high school students, maybe one in four, I'll have to research that, students are on these psychiatric drugs. Well, they get that into the database that they're teaching or that they're treating, you know, Billy Johnson out here, who's a senior in high school, and he's been on psychiatric drugs with his family doctor for the last few years. Well, when he turns 20 or even 18 now, that prevents him from being able to buy a firearm. And that's what they're pushing as well, kind of because our enemy thinks generationally. And so they can get all these children on drugs, prescription drugs. And you ever notice the difference? You see, you ask people, what are you taking? You know, people will say, well, I'm taking Bonoxamicarocafil or whatever it is. But the druggie on the street, he's on, right? He's on drugs. He's not taking drugs. He's on drugs. Same thing happening to him. But there's, I guess, maybe a civilized way to talk about it in an uncivilized way. Anyway.
Well, and the whole topic and the way of looking at it goes back to the idea of the mindset. And we have that sheep-type mindset. We want to find the good in people. We want to trust people. So the idea, the general idea of, okay, we don't want crazy people having guns, sounds good. You know, if you just take it at that, and if both sides are honorable and you got a good judge and what have you, but we got to get away from that trusting everybody sheep mindset and look at things from a different point of view, from their point of view, and think about things, analyze, calculate, and pray for discernment. That's one thing that is huge, is us to be able to discern their language, what they really mean whenever they're putting something out there to us. I mean, people can say the same exact words, but just in mannerisms and tone of voice and the presentation, they can mean something completely different. So it's very important that we have that discernment and that we listen to the Holy Spirit. We don't, whenever he tells us things, and I've heard it related to that still small voice, you know, most of the time, he doesn't slap us with it. Most of the time, it's something that you hear in your inner self, and you just question this person. You question what they're saying. And I've been guilty plenty of times in the past of stifling that, you know, putting it aside and saying, oh, he's all right, he's all right. You know, and I guess, in a sense, quenching that Holy Spirit. But we got to learn to trust the Lord whenever he tells us something, and to be wary and to keep our guards up. No matter if it's a friend that you've known for 20 years or somebody that you just met on the street as a stranger, because you truly don't know people without the discernment that God gives us to be able to know them. I was thinking of the conversation that y'all were having. There was some movie years ago that I was watching, and the bad guy was telling the good guy, you know, that they were a servant people, and you know, he was downing them with the dialogue, and you know, the idea was that they were going to serve him or whatever. And I remember when I heard that, it made me mad. You know, I was like, I'm not no stinking servant, you know. And but I guess, you know, the further I get along in my walk, and the more that I read, and more that I learn, we are to be those servants, but not servants to them, servants to Christ. And
right,
and through that we have our liberty, because he does give us the freedom of choice, and he gives us the rule book laid out there in front of us. And as long as we stay on that ball field of the inside the parameters that he gives us to work with, him, we're completely free. And so that is our freedom. And so I was looking at a scripture this morning, if I pull it up real quick. But Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And that's something that we need to make sure that we are giving that effort, you know, a real effort to do this, to serve one another, and to take the time to even as you guys are doing this morning, being here on the radio, trying to spread, trying to lift up and help to serve one another, to love one another. It's important that we do that in our daily lives, because we do reap what we sow. And, you know, and time and time again, I've seen it where you can cast something out there and it'll come back tenfold a benefit to you. And that's not why you do it. You're not doing it for the return. You're doing it because you love the people that you're doing it for. But it is the way it works, that you reap what you sow, and the Lord continually blesses us for it.
Amen.
Absolutely. Yeah, God's ways aren't man's ways. That's an absolute. And what the world considers wisdom, the Bible says that God considers it foolishness. And so often we think that if you help a brother, it the world would say, well, what benefit is there for that? God said, well, there's a benefit in heaven. You're laying that up. Your savings account there is gaining ground. We look at the help, and it's just like I was one of the things I've been listening to all week on this shooting business is there, well, you're not going to change anybody's mind. You're not going to change anybody's mind. The people who think they should take the guns, you can't change their mind. And I look at, you're right, I can't change their mind, but I know someone who can. God can.
Amen.
And he can change their mind. And that doesn't mean that I get a free pass with not telling those people or not trying to show those people what God wants. God says, you should be armed, that you should be ready, that you should serve Him, that you should watch out for your children. I mean, to me, this business, I read an article that said that like 98% of all these mass shootings have happened in gun-free zones. And that's statistics. Yeah. So what parent would, I mean, that's like putting your child in a lion cage and thinking he'll be okay, No, you don't put them on that side of the glass to see the lions or the tigers. You put them on, they're on the safe side of the glass. There's a lot of that goes on. So,
yeah.
I don't believe the majority of any of these news broadcasts that I've seen on what actually happened as far as the way this shooting took place or what happened. I mean, because we've seen all the evidence of the crisis actors that have come in, the actors that have been brought in, the sheriff that wouldn't go into the building, the multiple shooters. But at the same time, one thing we do know is that they're trying to push this, gun control through. You talk about, these younger people just being plumb nuts. I mean, that is a true deal that we are facing. You got them on psychotropic drugs. You got them on all these kind of antidepressants, all kinds of drugs, and then they play these video games that are, coming out in 4K and 2K and high definition, and they've really lost contact with what reality is. They do not know what reality is. And then you've got all these so-called reality TV shows that are, say this is real life TV and everything. And if you look at the credits, it all, it says that they're all actors, and that's just what they do. It's just an acting, and that's what they call reality TV. They have, and these games are so real anymore that you talk to people. I've talked to people that play these video games a lot, and they say that they have flashbacks during the day of playing a video game. You combine that with the drugs that people are on. There's something to be concerned about.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
And it's a choice that we make. It's our fault as parents if we let our children do those things, because that it's not okay, that it's not right, and it's not healthy. It doesn't matter what the rest of the children are doing. And it also stands out to me how much that those people, I use that term, I guess, loosely, but the ones that are doing the shootings, if they're happening, they're normally so cowardly. You know, they go into the gun-free zones and they prey on these people, and then normally after the fact they either kill themselves, for the most part that's what they do, or else, you know, you see pictures of them later on trial or whatever, and they're just, you know, big sobs and tears and what have you. I mean, but it's just, you know, it's a bad state that we're in, and there's so many contributing factors, and we know that the only way that it's going to be fixed is if we go down that road, Second Chronicles, and we do what we've got to do to win this battle and to take our land back over.
Amen. Yeah, I agree with that.
Amen.
No. Until you start changing the hearts and the minds of the people and turning them back to God, I mean, that's the real anxiety deal. Everybody that, you know, they think they have anxiety and they think that they have this and that they have this, and, you know, I mean, it's so much of that can be cured just by, you know, turning to Christ. You know, they won't do that. They want to go to these other means for their comfort and their well-being.
Amen. Oh, you can say it. It's just other gods is how they look at it. You know, other gods. They believe what that doctor says. If he says you got 4 months to live, they believe that. They don't have the wherewithal to say, no, I don't. You're not God Almighty, and only He knows the day and time of that my life ends. And but so many times they look at this, and now you've got the parents that were raised in this godless society, and now it's their children, or they're raising their grandchildren, because their children have been so sorry. They don't even deserve anyway. It's just how it is. They're, you know, parents today are raising their grandchildren in these high schools, and it's just all godless, and they wonder, well, we just do the best we can, just that's all we can do. And but when they do it apart from God, it falls so very short.
It's so important to remember that they only have what power that God lets them have, and that's also proportional to what power that we let them have over us as a people. Because if we call out to God, and if we make a stand, if everybody,
yes,
if all of us, not everybody, but if all of us, you know, put that right foot forward and then say no, that we're not going to take this, they can't win. They can't beat us. We have the power through Christ, but it is hard to make those stands. It is, and that's why most people don't do it. But that's also why the heat's being turned up so much, why God's letting it go to the place where it is, so that people will finally get enough, and everybody's got a different place in, at which they get enough and they quit taking it. But hopefully and prayerfully, it doesn't have to go to a point where they're destroyed before they realize what's going on, and they got to turn to God, and we have to live the way that He sets out for us, for us to prosper and for us to live.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I always think of Malachi 4:4 being the, you know, that's the closing of the Old Testament, that chapter 4 in Malachi, before you jump into the New Testament, always reminds me of those things when he talked about the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in its wings. But verse 4 says, remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. You know, I mean, and we've talked about it. I mean, we've beat it, but it needs, I think it bears a little. You know, they don't want the Ten Commandments in the school. They don't want the laws of that make this country work together. This country was set up for, was set up and consecrated to God. And God, it's like anything else. When you make a, they made a deal when they came out of Egypt, and they said, yes, we're going to serve you and our children. And he told them how it was going to go. And he's never forgot that. You know, those people may have forgotten it, but God called them back. God's worked with them. God's, you know, he's used the rod of iron, or he's used the gentle calling of kindness, but he's never give up. And, you know, that law of Moses that he told us to remember it, you know, it's one of those things. It's how we get along. It's how we do that. These problems that we see, the bottom line is, when you take God out of the way you do things, when you take his laws, statutes, and judgments out of the way that you interact with each other, you're going to have these kinds of problems. It's not about guns. It's not about drugs. It's not about, and these are all contributing factors to different things. I mean, they may be tools that they use to create or control or manipulate the scenario, but the real scenario is that we have, that it's not even we. I mean, like we've said before, the majority of the people out there, and I'm convinced of this, they have that law wrote on their hearts. They may not even know why they want it exactly. They may not be upstanding Christian people, but they don't believe in murder. They don't believe in running off with their neighbor's wife. They don't believe in coveting what their neighbor has. What we have are a few there. And I was watching Nancy Pelosi speak the other day, and I just got to laughing. The woman can't string three words together in a sentence. You know, I mean, she's an evil thing, and that's the best that they can put up there to, you know, talk for. What a pitiful thing, you know. My God doesn't fear them. They're nothing, you know. They have no power, and I'm not going to give them any either. The battle's won, and you know, and we'll keep on doing whatever it is that we can do. Again, I go back to Malachi, where he says, you will tread down the wicked, for there'll be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing. And it's like, you want to do something, the day of treading is coming for those people. And it's figurative or literal or how, both, I mean, but they've lost, you know. So praise the Lord for it. And I think we just have to keep on, we just have to hold the line and keep on keeping on, and keep on praying to our Father. And you know, we see these things going on, and that's faith.
Well, I think about, you said holding the line, and it is so much easier. It's very, very hard for that first person to stand up and say no and take that stand, and he's by himself, and there's thousands around him. He's one man that's standing, and the only person he's got there is God standing with him. But it's easier for that second guy, and then that fifth guy, and that tenth guy. And I love that song, Stout-Hearted Men.
Yes.
And you know, the idea that goes along with it. And that's our job. We are the ones that are to be that one, to stand there and say no. You know, no king but King Jesus. And we're not going to take this, and we're not going to lay down. And it's not easy, but nothing, well, very few things that are worth doing are easy. And but you're exactly right, Tim. We're supposed to hold the line. We're supposed to be the leaders. And there are. I agree with you 100%. I'm encouraged regularly by seeing things that people do and groups of people that I, in my fleshly body or heart, however you want to put it, I thought was impossible. You know, just the way that we think a lot of times whenever we're not thinking right. But and I'll see somebody do something, and I'm amazed, and I'm thankful that they too do have that law of God on their heart, like what you're talking about. They may not even know why they're doing it, but they're doing the right thing. They take a stand. So I do believe, just like you, there are plenty more people out there that just need maybe just need a nudge, you know, and we can be the ones to help them with that and share that truth with them, that scripture of, well, yeah, you're right, and this is why you feel that, because the Bible says this. And we need to encourage each other and lift each other up. I know it's been very beneficial for me to be able to call on different ones of you all, you know, the body, when it gets hard. And I encourage people to do that. You know, if you got somebody that a like-minded Christian brother or sister, you're going through a hard time, call them and have them pray for you. Ask them to stand there with you, because it's easier whenever you can stand together than when you got to stand on your own. I mean, we know that steel sharpens steel, and you know, sometimes I'll call Jason with a problem, and from 1,000 miles away, he'll kick me in the behind and say, "No, you know, that ain't it," and give me the scripture why, and I'll, you know, well, thank you then. And but it helps to have somebody that you can call. And but on the other side of that coin, you need to be somebody that they can count on whenever they call, that you can be there for them as well.
Yes, amen.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And so I'm not saying, I know we're not supposed to, you know, fully trust in any man. I'm not saying that. There's definitely still discern the spirits, and only look to the Lord for the end result. But it does help.
Sure.
That's why I sent them out in prayer.
Yep. Well, and there's many times that you know, God will, he will put one of us through a situation. Like 1 Corinthians 1 talks about, you know, praise God, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we can comfort others. And many times that's that, you know, that's the, when we're going through something, it's training. It's sometimes we call it the school of hard knocks or whatever it may be, but many times God will allow us and have us go through that type of thing so that we are trained and disciplined and ready. We've gone through it so that we can help somebody else go through it. We can comfort them with the scripture. Absolutely, not trusting in any man, but that's how God works. He gets his word out to people, to individuals, and lets them live it, and then they are able to therefore you know, share and have that maybe that word of wisdom, or that you know that scripture verse to go to be able to say, like you mentioned about Jason, no, that's not biblical. What you need to do is look at this scripture here. And 9 times out of 10, when you get a good answer like that, it's because they've already gone through it. That was one of the reasons I think that our pastor resonated with so many people, that he put the truth out, but he had lived it. It wasn't just theory to him. It was life, and it had been learned with blood, sweat, and tears, and it was put out truthfully. And when truth is put out with experience, it's a very powerful thing, especially when it's the gospel truth. Who was it? Was it Hosea? You know, Hosea was told some kind of odd things that he had to do so that he would understand and he would be able to preach from the heart and tell and understand, you know, what he was going through. You know, take yourself a wife of harlotry and have children of harlotry, for the land commits flagrant harlotry, forsaking the Lord. He said, I want you to know how I feel, so you can tell the people. And Hosea did it. And man, Hosea needs to be taught in the public schools. You know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. And since you've forgotten the law of your God, America, God has forgotten your children. Now, if you don't like that, rip, you know, it's page 701 in my Bible. Just rip it out of your Bible, America, if you don't like it. But it's truth. And you need to hear it, because Hosea understood. Hosea had been through it. and he was able to give some good godly counsel. And the people might not like it, but it's still good and godly. I like too, Tim, I think you mentioned you were reading in Galatians about being called to freedom, Galatians 5:13. And then you mentioned that law that people don't want, you know, it touches on the law right after that. Verse 14, the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And see, that's not a new, that's a reference. What that reference is back to, where is that? Leviticus 19. You know, it's nothing new. It might be a better explanation of it, but it's nothing new. And then down in Galatians 6, same page. Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and therefore, thereby, fulfill the law of Christ. You know, they give good summaries of it. That's not all the law, but it fulfills. It's summed up, the cliff notes, so to speak. The summary of the law as Jesus taught it. You know, what's the most important? Of course, first, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And if you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. And then you love your neighbors yourself. And that pretty much covers it. You know, it does. If just that were taught. But for 55 years now, it hasn't been 56 years. Nope, can't teach that in school. And so we have sown those ungodly seeds in this nation, and we are reaping the ungodly fruit that comes from it. But the harvest ain't over, that's for sure. The harvest is not over.
Well, and he, you know, Elijah was another one of those, and that time was very dire. If you read that whole thing in I think it's 1 Kings, he thought he was the last one, and he's having that pity party out there, you know, for himself. Gee, Lord, it's hard on me. I'm the only one left. God came to him finally at the mouth of that cave, and there's 7,000 that have bowed their knee here.
Amen.
I have more.
Amen.
You know, you're just, and really, if you look at that in the right way, if you can get into God's mind, and you really can't, but you know, if you try, you come up with the fact that you're very special. The reason that you're being picked on by Jezebel, the reason that you're being pursued, is because you are special. Out of that 7,000, but you know, there's more than just you. So when we feel that way a lot of times, and I've been there, like Josh said, you know, you're there, you're all by yourself, and I've been in places where I thought the only guy who would stand up and say that, and I've done it. It wasn't an easy thing, but it's funny, you do it, and suddenly you'll hear somebody else stand up. I mean, they're there. You just didn't know it, you know. And they wouldn't have stood up if you didn't. So, and even if they don't, that doesn't negate the fact that you needed to. So, we just have to pray for that strength, for that strong man strength that Mark talks about. So... it doesn't say a man well armed and a complete wimp protects his house.
Right.
I think that's a very personal thing. How much faith, how much belief do you have? Will you charge the gates of hell with a bucket of water? I mean, if that's what Christ tells you to do, if that's what God wants you to do, will you do it?
Yeah.
That's each of our personal trial. I mean, that's a very personal thing. But if you'll be faithful in those small things. God will add all that to you, and you'll get stronger. It's just like any other muscle. It just has to be exercised.
Amen. That's right.
And you're exactly right. The first part of that verse is a strong man. And that's who he's referencing, is a strong man. And a strong man doesn't get strong by lifting Volkswagen to start out with. He starts out with a smaller weight that he can handle, and he keeps pushing, and he keeps pushing, and he does those things. We make those small stands, and we don't back up. Before long, you get stronger, and you get stronger.
Yes.
And it's not fun. There's pain that goes along with it, and cramps, and sometimes you'll even back up a little bit if you have an injury or something. It relates in the physical just the same way it does in the spiritual, in that application. But we got to keep pushing. And, you know, when you think of that statement, a strong man, you think about a strong man. This is a guy here that's a masculine man that's got a burly look to him. You know, you don't think about a limp-wristed, long-haired, girly man that society is trying to make out, or they're doing a pretty good job of making out of our people. You know, it's not socially acceptable anymore to be a manly man with you know, with grit and growl in his voice. But that's the way we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be feminine and so easy. And you know, you notice whenever a strong man does enter in a room, and I'm not talking about a muscle man, but a strong man, people notice. People take notice of that, and that authority is there, you know, that presence. And that guy's a leader, and that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be those leaders, those strong men in Christ that don't back down. That, you know, it's not being arrogant, but it's just being sure of yourself and sure of God, and knowing that he's never let us down, and his word is true. And if we stand on his word, we're not going to lose. Not the war, anyway. You may lose a battle sometimes, but in the big picture, it's already won. But God definitely expects us to do our part of the work. I mean, that's why we're here.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Amen. Be strong and courageous, it says, more than once, more than twice. Be strong and courageous. Well, men, we're about out of time. I want to thank you all for being here this morning, and I thought it was a great program. And Remnant, this program will be archived at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And we want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us at church starting at 8:30 Sunday morning, 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 Eastern. And we'll have a scriptural review of the news. We'll follow that up with a timeless truth from the pulpit. And boy, the truths that have been coming out, the prophecies from years ago that we are now seeing coming true, that are just countless. And Brother John will be there with a live message, some current events, and talking on that. So we'll have communion and some music, some fellowship. So we encourage you to join us. You can do that by going to scripturesforamerica.org and just clicking on the live video stream, and we'll be there, good Lord willing. So, men, again, thanks for joining us, and God bless. Have a great weekend, and folks, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Thank you.
Rollin', 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rollin', 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rollin' over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
Ha!
Rollin', rollin',
rollin',
rollin',
rollin', rollin'.
moving over snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide.